What's cracking? It's Keyshawn, and welcome to my show, Undisputed Presents All Facts, No Breaks Podcast. Joining me today is basketball's most in-demand shooting coach, and I'm talking about shooting from the three-point line and anywhere else on the floor, Chris Matthews, a.k.a. Lethal Shooting Coach. What's up?
Man, what's good, man?
Thanks, man, I'm good.
Yeah.
I just need to learn how to shoot.
You're in good hands.
See, if I had you as my shooting coach when I was in high school, probably could have made $300-400 million.
Easy.
Because I couldn't shoot. I could do everything else, except I could not shoot. I could defend. I was long. I could jump out the gym. I could do everything, but I couldn't. For some reason, when I could go 5 of 20.
Ooh. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But in high school, they not looking at the numbers. They looking at your athleticism and whatnot. Right. And speaking of looking at numbers and athleticism, you're from the DMV.
Yep.
That's out there in the D.C. area with A.I., Bubba Chuck, and Kevin Durant, high school teammate of Kevin Durant, and the great Elgin Baylor and Carmelo Anthony. Yep. What's in the water in D.C., man?
Man, just grit, toughness. You know what I mean? That city definitely helped me become who I am today. Like you're saying, playing on teams with like Kevin Durant. Mike Beasley went to my high school as well. You can't be soft. You know what I mean? So growing up in D.C. definitely made me who I am today. Because, you know, on social media, you know, my brand is real, like, soft and, you know, a little bit more corporate. But in real life, you know, the way I had to grow up was really tough. Stuff wasn't easy. And it was a sacrifice every day to even try to make it, especially making it home safe.
What's better? What has better hoops? D.C., Philly, or New York?
I would have to go with Washington, D.C. You know what I mean? I'm from D.C. You know, I feel like Washington, D.C., we teach good fundamentals. Not saying Philly and New York don't, but, you know, it's not a lot of New York shooters. You know what I mean? If you notice players from Washington, D.C., we can shoot the basketball. New York is really good getting to the basket. Philly is known for grit as well. But Philly isn't known for shooters as well. But I feel like overall fundamentals, I feel like Washington, D.C. does a good job in the grassroots space of developing basketball players.
So New York is just more, I don't know, street ball, so to speak?
Yeah, I'll say street ball because the way they get to the basket. But New York has definitely been changing in the grassroots space to get away from that. But as you know, growing up yourself, you know what I mean? New York players, they're known for grit, toughness, getting to the basket. Not saying they don't have overall basketball games, but I feel like Washington, D.C. does a good job of developing that.
And I know since you've been on the grind as a lethal shooter for however many years it's been, and you probably get this question all the time, but you're going to get it from me again.
Yeah.
What was it like in high school playing with KD? Because the first time I saw KD in person was at one of my draft parties in New York City.
Yeah.
And he walked in and he sat in my area of my booth. And this dude, I'm like, man, this dude a string bean. Look like a spaghetti string.
Yeah.
But he getting ready to be possibly the number one, number two overall pick.
Yeah.
What was it like playing with him?
It was like what you say. You know, we first saw him. It was the same thing. Like, this guy, he's too small. He's too skinny. But the first practice, I mean, he was killing everybody. This guy was only in the ninth grade, you know, and to see what he was doing to us. You know, I was a junior at the time. It was remarkable because our whole team basically went D1. And the one thing that Kevin always did to us, he was getting to his points on the floor. And that was something for me that, you know, it was sometimes like I used to be jealous a little bit because Kevin would get more shots than me, the point guard, and Deron. And Deron went to Virginia Tech. Our point guard went to St. Joe's. And, you know, I went to Pac-10. And we're like, why is this guy going to get more shots than us? Then we start realizing, I mean, this guy potentially could be one of the best basketball players of all time. So I started putting my pride to the side and using Kevin Durant to take up more of the defense so I can get more shots. So we were going trips, Baltimore, slam dunk to the beach, NBA Hall of Fame, and I'm giving Kevin the ball so he can get all the attention, and I started getting more shots. That's how I started killing more in high school.
So the lethal shooter goes to the Pac-12 conference. I guess it probably was the Pac-10.
Pac-10 back then
that I played in football. You come all the way from the D.C. area.
Yep.
You fly over all those schools to go to Pullman, Washington. And then eventually you transfer back to St. Bonnie. You say, I got to get back to the East Coast.
Yep.
You say transfer to St. Bonnie. But then in 2010, after having the success in college, you go undrafted.
Yep.
How disappointing was that for you to be undrafted, but not necessarily not still living your dream because eventually you wind up playing overseas professional basketball?
I mean, like you said, like I was recruited by some of the top colleges in America, and Tony Bennett did a good job of getting me to Pullman, Washington, where we went to the Sweet 16 my sophomore year. And like you said, I went to St. Bonaventure, which definitely a blessing to get back home because now my family can see my games. Nobody flying to Pullman, Washington to see my games coming from Washington, D.C.
Promise to God that yeah. not even coming from Washington, D.C., Chris. Driving up the street from Idaho, yeah, they not watching.
Nah. So it was definitely a heartbreaking moment because, you know, coming from where I come from, you feel like you let the whole city down. You feel like you let the streets down. You feel like you let your neighborhood down. But then I started realizing, you know, my life isn't over because I was beating myself down that I didn't even get one NBA look because at the time I was number one in the Atlantic 10 in three-pointers made and I broke every single record at St. Bonaventure at the time. And I still hold records at the school. But the good thing about me is I started realizing that everybody has a purpose in life.
Yes.
You know, as you know, I went overseas to play for 8 years. A lot of people don't know on social media. I lived in China, lived in Russia, lived all around the world. So now I feel like I'm doing my real purposes, and that's teaching people the art of shooting.
You played all over in all these different places. Keyshawn can't speak a lick of foreign language.
Hey, man, bonjour.
I'd be the same way. I don't believe. But now I have a question for you that now that you mentioned that you were, what were some of the biggest challenges you faced early on, like during your career and just like getting into the social media aspect instead of just like basketball, just being a coach?
Yeah, I say the biggest challenge that I've had is what a lot of people don't know is I'm the director for Nike Academy. I train all the top Nike athletes. As you know, if you've seen in my past resume this year alone, I have Grayson Allen. He's number one in 3-point percentage. I have Jaylen Brown. He's an NBA All-Star. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, et cetera, et cetera. But I'll say when I first started off, people were taking me as a joke, you know, because the content that I put out is not really a representation of who I really am as a trainer, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people in my field were making fun of me. You know what I mean? Like, look at this fake coach. Look at this fake trainer. You know, this dude don't know what he's doing. And I used to be down on myself, to be honest with you guys. You know what I mean? I was like, well, I need to stop making this type of content because I want to be accepted in the basketball space as an elite trainer, as an elite coach. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because I'm going into the Lakers facilities. I'm going into the Celtics facilities. I'm going into all these top places to train. But coaches were, you know, making fun of my content. Then I started realizing in the social world, I don't care what other people think about me, man. You know what I mean? If you're going to think that about me, you could think what you want. But it's a reason why my clients are always top 10 in the NBA and 3-point percentage because I can do content as well and be a trainer, if that makes sense. So it's just like somebody trying to label you in one box. Like, you can only play football.
Man, I don't pay attention to no motherfucking body labeling me. I ain't never paid attention to that.
Exactly. And that's when I started doing. I started realizing that when I stopped caring what other people was thinking social media-wise, that's when my brand started going to the next level. I kept doing skits. I kept doing my crazy rims. On top of that, being a good coach. So I feel like if you're trying to build a social media platform, the first thing you should do is don't care what the haters say. Ignore them and keep moving to your purpose.
When did you first learn, though, you know what, man? I think I got a technique to teach these dudes how to shoot the basketball at a high percentage and a high clip.
Yeah, well, you know, in high school, I was blessed that I was always ranked one or two in the whole state of Maryland as a shooting guard in the whole state. And I've always been able to shoot. So it's just like you know, when you're teaching, it's instinct. So, like, I've been blessed to have, you know, mentors like Craig Hodges, mentors like Delonte Nutt Taylor that have taught me how to shoot the basketball. So my ability to teach comes from my ability to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not a coach that's teaching somebody how to play the piano. And I never played the piano my entire life. And the one thing that we see in today's society, there's a lot of coaches teaching things that they haven't mastered. And I felt like, yes, I didn't make it to the NBA, but I feel like I mastered the art of shooting by the accolades that I've had growing up to teach the art of shooting. So if it comes to somebody like a Grayson Allen, he's been a great shooter his whole life. Why not have
him? I don't like him.
He went crazy the other day.
I don't like him,
though. For eight.
I wish I played. Oh, I wish I played college basketball against him. I don't fuck with dude.
Why not?
Because I don't like his dirty tactics when he's in college and stuff like that. I don't. No. I know he's shooting at lights out in Phoenix right now, but still, I tell Jay Will that all the time. Yeah. We all used to joke about it. I'm like, I don't like dude because you're not getting away with some of the tactics that he did at Duke.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not getting away with that, man.
Yeah.
Kicking me and pushing me out. Man, what? But that's a whole nother story. What techniques, I'm going to steal some of your stuff.
All right,
what techniques is it to be a great shooter that you use? Like, what is the, how do you teach it? What do you, is it the feet? Is it the shoulders? Yeah. Is it the wrist? Yeah. Is it the focus, hand-eye coordination?
Yeah.
Tell me something, because I'm going
to
steal it.
No, I'm going to give it to you, man. I'm going to give it to everybody. So, like, a good example is last week I was with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope in Denver training. And our shooting percentage was going down just a little bit. He was at 37.8%. Which is not bad, you know what I mean? But the main
from
goal...
From three or just from the field?
From three.
Oh, from three. Okay.
What's a good percentage?
Yeah, it's good, but it's not great. So the main goal as a shooter, you always want to try your best at the three-point line to go 40%.
Okay.
So when I went back in to train the other day, our main goal was to perfect this footwork because our footwork got a little bit sloppy. So if you want to be an elite shooter, you have to have great footwork. Same with you in football. Like, you have to have good footwork. And most importantly, you have to go back to your fundamentals. You know, if you look at an elite shooter... They always try to go back to what helped them get to where they are. But just like any other human, when we're having 10, 12 good games, mm-hmm. sometimes we start trying to be cool a little bit, if that makes sense. So we go away from our fundamentals and we go away from what helped us become the elite shooters we are. So my main goal as a teacher is to teach people to always try to stay fundamental within the game when possible.
You think there was a specific moment or player that you trained that helped you get the word out for you on the social media like platforms and all that?
Yeah, I mean, it was a dream come true. That guy was Dwight Howard. You know, at the time I was helping NBA teams, but at the time Dwight respectfully was a terrible free throw shooter. And the year that I helped him, it was the biggest jump percentage-wise that he's ever had in his career when I was helping him with the Hawks. And during that time, he was breaking percentage records that he's never broke before in his career. And that's when my name started getting around, like, oh, you know, who is this lethal shooter guy? Because at the time, like you were saying, I was just doing content. I was doing training, but it wasn't what I'm doing right now, if that yeah. makes sense. So I was always on social media as a great shooter, but not as a great trainer. So he helped me basically get into that light because how big his name was to do that. And Kevin Serafin was my first ever NBA client when he was playing with the Knicks.
You're talking about NBA players and helping some of them. So work with Anthony Davis. You just mentioned Dwight Howard. You got Sabonis, Bobby Portis, Bobby Porter, yeah. Jaylen Brown. Yeah. And then when you look back at some of the great players in the NBA, like a Michael Jordan, a Shaq, or a Kobe, Shaq needed you in the worst way at the free throw line.
Yeah.
How could you have, you think you could have enhanced their game and helping them if you was around at that time?
I mean, I would have loved to work with somebody like Shaq. You know, my main goal is to help players accomplish.
Well, then you need to go work with LeBron at the free throw line. Yeah. I'm a Laker fan, been a Laker fan my whole life. And so, yeah.
But I would love to work with Shaq, man, because it's like, you know, let's use a good example. When Grant Williams was with me full time, that was the highest 3-point percentage that he shot in his career. When I had Bobby Portis full time, that was the highest 3-point percentage he shot in his career. It was 47%. This year, Grayson Allen is shooting 46.3% from the NBA line this year, ranking him number one. So to work with players like a Bobby Portis, he's always been able to shoot, but it wasn't really super perfected. Somebody like a Grant Williams, he's never shot three-pointers at Tennessee. And then I was able to go in to help him become top five, top 10 in the NBA that year when I was full-time with him. And even this year, he's shooting at a clip that he can make money. And let's use Jaylen Brown. When I got with Jaylen Brown last year, he's always a great scorer, but he had to show that he can the ability to shoot higher with the 3-point percentage. It's not perfect right now because the high volume shots that he has to take. He's like a Klay Thompson. They got to take a lot of shots. So a good example is he signs $300 million. So for me to get to somebody like Shaquille O'Neal, for me, that would be a dream come true. Because
it's too late now.
Well, it's too late now. I mean, even today, me and you could do something with Shaq to show him that we can't fix it. But to help somebody like Shaquille O'Neal would be a dream come true. I say in today's era, the person that would be my dream client is probably like somebody like, I like to deal with people where people try to say they can't. Because, you know, where me and you come from, you could do anything you put your mind
absolutely,
to.
So
I would say me personally, I would love to work with somebody like a Ben Simmons. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because me personally watching him shoot, fans are going to be fans. All due respect to fans, they're going to be negative. Oh, he can't do this. He can't do that. He can do it. It's just we need to teach it in a certain type of way that he understands how to do it every single time the same way, if that makes sense.
But why, mentioning that Ben Simmons, why wouldn't somebody like Ben Simmons reach out to you?
Well, you know, it's a lot of stuff that happens in the summer times. You know what I mean? Your schedule might be a certain type of way. My schedule might be a certain type of way. So it's just you have to, you know, align schedules. You know what I mean? But if that opportunity was there, I mean, I know I'd be ready. And if the opportunity wants to happen, it'll happen.
Yeah. So, Chris and Dad, who are your top five lethal shooters in NBA history?
You said Dad?
You got to give us it.
No. Hold on. In NBA history, lethal shooters? Well, I mean, you got to go Steph Curry. Like,
I go with that. I mean, is that number one, though?
Well, it depends on what you mean when you say lethal shooter. Because Reggie Miller was deadly.
He was.
So, you see what I'm saying? Ray Allen was deadly.
Steph won.
So, it would be Steph. For my eyes that I've seen.
Right.
Steph, Reggie, Ray, Allen. That's three. See, then, but Dame repeats the same thing as Steph for me. But you look at a lethal shooter different than I do. Dame is more of a scorer probably than a lethal shooter. He's deadly at it.
Yeah.
A dude like Dale Ellis was ridiculous at shooting the basketball, but you would probably know who Dale is based on basketball. Yeah. My son don't know who Dale Ellis
is.
Yeah,
no.
How you know that?
I know you.
Because I know you don't.
You don't think top five all time Klay Thompson should be up there?
Oh, I was going to say Klay Thompson. Steve Smith was tricky, was nice with it.
Right.
So it's just, you know, I could only really give you four that off the top of my head, which is Klay, Ray, Reggie, and Steph.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, I'm sure I'm missing somebody.
Yeah, I'll say we're missing somebody, but if we're just saying just shooters, to me, I think you named some elite shooters. I think the best shooter of all time is Steph Curry. And I feel like, you know, what we're watching, like how we watch LeBron. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yes, LeBron has, like you said, he might have those flaws at the free throw line, but what he's doing at the age that he's doing it at is unreal. You get what I mean? So what Steph Curry's doing with the art of shooting, we've never seen you, me and you, like, you know, the age you're at, the age I'm at, we've never seen this ever.
I'm younger than you, by the way.
You look young, though. But we've never seen this ever in NBA history.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We've had some great scorers, but nobody's as much as we love Reggie, as much as I the reason why I'm the shooter I am today is because of Reggie Miller, Ray Allen, and like Craig Hodges.
You know, what's so crazy, you made me think about it when you start talking. People like Chris Mullin used to drop it on people. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of dudes that got buckets, man.
Could they sidestep right, sidestep left, step back left, step back right, go behind the back four times, pull up with the right hand, go behind the back four times, pull up with the left, go through the legs twice with the left, go like there's no way to stop him from getting to his shot.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I remember, I am who I am today because of Ray. I am who I am because of Reggie. But the stuff that Steph does off the dribble, the people that me and you love, they couldn't do that. You know what I mean? Now, this is the question. If Ray Allen and Reggie Miller were in our generation, I think they would because their games would have to attract to the way this type of game was. So imagine if Ray Allen did take the time to say, I need to work on this and do that. Because there's times when he was in Seattle, he had to be the number one option. He was doing some stuff off the dribble.
You know what's so crazy, though? I'm just thinking about it. Lethal shooting. I'm watching the Denver game the other night.
Right.
And KD,
though. KD, that's what I was
like. The
bottom
of the net was just wet.
Yeah.
I just couldn't understand. No, I didn't forget about it, Keyshawn. It's just when you're up here talking, it take a minute to you know, I'd have been hit upside the head a bunch. So it take a minute for me to start to think. I'm like, KD, but I guess the definition of a lethal shooter, it sways depending on who the individual is.
Well, Kevin Durant's an elite scorer.
Yeah.
So to me, if you could correct me if I'm wrong, to me, I think Kevin Durant is possibly top three all-time best scorer, best all-around scorer of all time in the NBA. Because what he can do, he can get to his points, he can shoot the three, he can get to
mid-range,
mid-range. And that's what people have to understand. Like you're saying, being a lethal shooter is great, but it's not just about the three. The mid-range shot is very important as well. So when I teach the art of shooting, we might not even shoot a three, bro. Uh-huh, so like when we train at Nike Academy and we getting kids ready for like Duke, Kentucky, and all these type of schools, if you want to master the art of shooting, it starts with the mid-range jump shot. So if we say lethal shooter, you can't just shoot a three. You got to be able to shoot the mid-range.
See, that means I was a lethal shooter in high school because I could get to the elbow.
But you couldn't shoot the three, though.
But I could shoot the three to save my life.
Yeah, you ain't a lethal shooter.
No, I could. I was like a fake Michael Jordan, you know?
Yeah.
Because Jordan was a mid-range king.
He was.
He was a mid-range king.
And if you think about it, but your son, like you're saying, your son might not know, early in his career, he wasn't really trying to hunt a lot of threes.
No.
You get what I'm saying? Because mid-range is king.
Yeah.
You know, mid-range is very important, and we got away from that.
So you've worked with a ton of celebrities who are often featured, your social media accounts like Drake, Rick Ross, Future, MGK, Quavo.
Man, stop, man. You can't play no damn basketball.
Adam Sandler, John Legend.
You just said Adam Sandler. Let me ask you something. Man, stop, Keyshawn.
Who's got the best shot out of all of them?
All right, so I always get asked this question. So
Quavo.
I got to say three. I can't just say one. Is that a deal?
Okay, top three. Yeah. Top
all right, my top three best shooters of all time is select. And remember, they all can shoot. So look, I'm going to give you a good. No. Let me give you an example. Hold on.
I've played with Jamie Foxx. Jamie Foxx can't shoot no damn basketball.
Did you see my page? He made like 20 NBA threes in a row. 20.
I didn't see your page.
20. He made 20.
Okay, so all right.
20. Now, it's because it was after the training, but hear me out. Yeah. So last week, I trained Wiz Khalifa. We made some adjustments, bro.
Wiz Khalifa, tall?
He made like 15 NBA threes in a row, bro, after the training. Uh-huh. But the best ones, I would say, is Chris Brown. Okay?
Okay.
Michael B. Jordan. He can shoot really, really, really good. I know. Trust me, bro. Michael B. Jordan. Now, hear me out when I say this, too. 2 Chainz, he can shoot really good, bro. He hooped collegiately. He played.
Yeah, but 2 Chainz, 9 feet tall. He got basketball body.
But it don't mean he gonna be able to shoot.
No, I'm saying he, like you said, he played college basketball. Yeah. So for him
he
to take your
it.
Yeah, for him yeah. to take your philosophy. Criticism, your philosophy, yeah. your yeah. structure, that carries over.
Yeah.
But you're not going to convince me, James. No damn Rick Ross and them James
right.
Jamie Foxx.
Well, I wouldn't say it's muscle memory, but it's just like you teaching me football, right? For that moment that you teach me a route or you teach me something.
You're going
to
be good.
I'm going to be perfectionist. Yeah, I'm not good. Trying to say after the workout, they still lethal.
Yeah,
I'm okay. saying in that 2 hours, I'm going to turn you lethal.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
I got it
when
now.
I was with Rick Ross, hear me out. All these videos that you see, these are not green screen, bro.
Yeah.
They knocking that shot down. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
they knocking the shit down.
They knocking the shot down, yeah.
Okay.
Were you ever starstruck by any of these guys? Or you ever get starstruck or nah?
No. I think the only person I might be starstruck if it ever happens is somebody like a, not saying these guys aren't, you know, big time, but I'll say like a Denzel. Like if I was to ever like teach Denzel the art of shooting, I might fumble my words or something. Like, blah, 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 blah. Like you know what I mean? Yeah. But everybody else is more like, you know what I mean? Like not saying they not Denzel. But it's just like...
No, they're not Denzel.
But he's like my Michael Jackson. You know what I mean?
No, I get it. Yeah. You teach Michael Jackson.
I would fumble my words. You get what I'm saying? I would be in shock. You know what I mean? So
that it happens to all of us, man. Yeah. There's no question about it, Keyshawn. Yeah. Mike, you saw Mike growing up. Or, yeah. You know, you around them. You're like, hey, that's MJ. Okay.
Yeah.
That's just what it is.
Yeah.
You got one more?
Well, who do you train the most out of all of them?
Yeah. So I want to say the person that's most consistent is probably Drake and Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers. He really loves the game. You know
no, he
I mean?
Loves the game of basketball, no. but I can't see him playing basketball.
Bruh, trust me. Hear me out. You're going to think I'm crazy when I say this, and I got the footage. I never released it. This dude can do like 70 push-ups without stopping.
I can believe that.
He challenged me one day to do push-ups, and you know me, I ain't topping no 70. So Flea is one of the most athletic older persons like that to me that like, I can't explain it, bro. His love for the game is next level. So with people like him being courtside, not saying celebrities do this. You know how celebrities be doing it to like be seen?
100%.
This dude does it because he really genuinely loved the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really genuinely loved. So shout out to Flea and shout out to Drake for sure.
Yeah, Flea, I saw him the other night at the Laker game.
Yeah.
So some of these dudes though that you teach it, I think more playing basketball versus shooting.
Yeah.
I'm like, ain't nowhere in the world some of these dudes can play hoops like that.
Yeah.
I know some of them probably got crazy court setups though, right? Who got like the best one out of that?
So like he's saying, like they all have nice. It's a blessing they let me into those temples. You know how these people let you in the house, but I say the best overall court to me is Drake House.
Yeah,
Drake House is pretty. It's pretty cool, bro. Like it's like I can't even explain it.
You
it's like
practice in the gym.
Well, I'm just saying how when you come up there, it's security. It's just
of
you
course.
Feel like you're
the
going to the White
House. Yeah, the cribs is crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Crazy cribs. Yeah. And his gym is probably, you know,
it's
NBA
a full
regulation.
NBA, yeah. He got a big screen on the wall, got the Kobe jerseys on the wall. So shout out to Drake. His house is definitely amazing.
No, you're going to always have a setup.
Yeah.
You got a setup, right, Keyshawn? Your
crib
a little, is
a little,
is set up,
you know,
right?
A little 8-footer. You know, on the yeah, so. How did it feel when you found out you were part of the NBA 2K24 with Kobe on the cover this year?
Yeah, that was a dream come true, man. Like I was telling you guys, come from where I'm coming from to have my jump shot in a game. Remember, I'm not in the NBA.
So what you mean when you say your jump shot in the game?
Explain a regular person could use my jump shot in the game. It's like the lethal jump shot. And I have my own gym in a video game where, let's say you're, I don't want to use LeBron. Let's say you're, name a player. Let's say...
Dame Lillard.
Let's say you're Dame Lillard. You can come into my gym, train with Lethal Shooter, and take your shooting percentage up. So when you go into the game, your jump shot's lethal.
In the video game.
In the video game, man. And that's another prime example when you were saying in the beginning about social media, where I was like, I was telling you I was down on myself, depressed sometimes about how people was making fun of me and
fuck
stuff like
them,
that.
But
exactly.
I get it, yeah.
Exactly. But
I bet you they wish they had anything right. In a video game.
Right, right. So that's why I was reverting back, where it's like now the same person, I am in the video game and I'm not an NBA player. I have my own gym and we have another feature coming out for 25. That's gonna be crazy. It's gonna be nuts.
So you practice. So I don't play video games.
Right, right,
he
right.
He plays video games.
Right, right.
Yeah, I was gonna ask. Did you get to do the motion capture, like the where you do the shot and all that?
So they took cool. me in, had me do my jump shot for about 5 hours.
So they put you in a little suit.
They put me in a suit, and like I was saying, like if you are an NBA player in the game, you can use my jump shot in the game as your shot.
So now I'm trying to understand. You got to explain this to me because I'm slow. I got hit in the head.
Yeah.
So you can go to the video.
Right.
On the game.
Right.
In the technique that's in that.
Right.
You can take that to actual.
My technique.
Your technique.
Yep.
And, I don't know, practice it.
Yep.
And then you'll be able to utilize that in the game.
So it's like in the training, NBA game.
So it's like a training session that's in the video game.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, you rich now, though.
I'm trying, man.
They back the truck up. Man, stop that, man.
They give me a few dollars, man.
Yeah, that's good, though. But again, you and I try to tell his knucklehead ass, you don't have to be what you thought you was going to be to get to where you want to go.
Absolutely.
You know, as many times over, hell, I went to school for one thing. I ain't no school teacher.
Yeah.
I went to school for history. Mm-hmm. I ain't teaching. I played football. I was the number one pick overall. I've been in TV post-career 18 years.
Yeah.
Pounding, though. Cold at it. But, you know, that's what it is. So, when you look now at your career, you are now in a position where you in the video game, just like the NBA guys, right?
Yeah.
You're in a video game like them. It's a lot of people on the street ain't even done, not even close. But you also have your own signature shoe.
Yeah.
Like NBA guys. Tell me that feeling and show me. Let me see what it is.
Yeah. So my first shoe was a 36. My second one, I collabed with Luca. This shoe is basically called Sky's the Limit.
What shoe is that?
What size?
What size is that?
I wear 15, 16, what a lot of people don't know. That's why I probably can't jump as high right now. But long story short, Jordan Brand gave me my first shoe. It was a 36. It was called the Stay Locked In. This shoe right here, I partnered with Luca. And as you can see right here, this is like water dripping because both of us have like wet jump shots we're elite scorers. And we wanted to use a certain type of unique leather. That's why you notice the leather is shining like that. This is my logo, what a lot of people don't know. That's my logo right there. And like you're saying, man, to be able to, not saying just as a trainer, but just somebody that never made it to the NBA to be able to partner with companies to have my own shoe, but you know, man, it's a dream come true, man. I'm excited for everybody to see what we have next, especially with Nike as well with my next shoe.
I'm gonna go work at Nike Town or wherever they sell these at, and I'm gonna tell them, see, the wet part is because I got a wet. This is how we design it because that's the water that comes down. No, it's a nice looking shoe.
Yeah, and I appreciate Luca for believing in my vision as well. You know what I mean? For somebody like him to want to partner with me with Jordan Brand. For me to have my own. And kids in EYBL are going to be wearing these as well. So
when do they come out?
They come out next month, but it's like family and friends. So like for EYBL team will be wearing it, and then like high-end like celebrities and stuff. So, I mean, I get
no, you, I can't. You get I'm an Adidas guy. I can't
oh, wear Oh, you're Adidas guy?
I've been Adidas my whole life.
Yeah.
You can get them to him.
Yeah, I give your get son a pair. I give your son a pair.
You know, he needs them, so.
In basketball news, though, Zion Williamson began trending the other day with some big news. Take a listen.
I got to do my part and make the All-Star game. If I'm in the All-Star game, I'll do the dunk contest. But if I'm not doing it.
So in recent years, the dunk contest has suffered in excitement because the NBA stars have opted out in participating. Could Zion be the catalyst to change that narrative?
I really think so. You know, as you know, not saying your son don't know. When I was growing up.
He don't know.
When I was growing up, all the superstars participated in All-Star Weekend. Yeah, that's what for made sure. It
everybody. I just had this conversation with somebody. I might have been on Undisputed with Skip and then we were talking about this.
Yeah, and I feel like, respectfully, today's NBA players, you know, it's not wrong with going to Bora Bora during your break. You get what I'm saying? But I feel like all-star break, as far as the fans, you got to show up for the fans, if that makes sense. Because this is somebody's time to see you in that type of element. To me, growing up, Michael Jordan, Dominique Wilkins, all these guys, they wasn't afraid of being humiliated, if that makes sense, if they lost. But the thing about it, too, they was competitive. They was going at each other in the dunk contest. So I feel like the superstars should participate in the dunk contest. So let's say like this. Let's say next year, hear me if I'm wrong, Ja Morant, Zion, who are the other two you thinking?
In the dunk contest?
In the dunk contest. Ja Morant, Zion.
I'm trying to think who flies. I'm trying to think who could get up super fly. Yeah, because when you talk about the dunk contest, and I had this conversation
right
the other day with Skip.
What about Anthony Edwards in a dunk contest?
Yeah, Ant-Man.
So okay.
He can go. But you got to be able, in my opinion, maybe Jaylen Brown? No?
Well, he participated this year, and I feel like the creativity was there, but some of the dunks didn't go as planned.
Yeah.
And I feel like with him coming back in it, I would love that because I would love for him to redeem himself.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll see.
But see, when I had this conversation again with Skip on Undisputed the other day. Like you talked about all, think about what you said. You talked about Kobe's.
Yeah.
You talked about MJ, obviously, Dominique, you know, Dr. J.
Yep.
You talked about guys that could jump, but also soar to another
and fly
and hold and not come down. Yeah. So he tried to blast LeBron for not doing a dunk contest throughout his career.
Yeah,
I said, first of all, LeBron is not an acrobatic twist and turn in the air.
Power.
He's a power dunker.
Yeah, power dunker.
Yeah, I'm like, Skip, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Yeah.
Because you wouldn't want to see Giannis? Someone like a Giannis?
Well, Giannis isn't. Giannis can fly.
Yeah, but, he can fly. But
when it comes to going through the leg, doing
you got
to
be creative.
Yeah, because the stuff that we grew up on with Dominique, MJ, respectfully, not saying our players can't do it. These guys were soaring and doing all this crazy stuff in the air, but they weren't coming down.
No.
Until it was time to dunk.
Until it was time to dunk before they landed. Or you look at a Spud Webb.
Yeah.
Spud Webb is 5'7", and whatever it was, and he dunking on 10-foot rims, but he's getting even up over the 10-foot rim.
Exactly.
So it's kind of like, Zion could do some of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And you're right. And you could help me remember this. I think most of those guys were in the All-Star game, though. They were not just participating.
You know what? Larry Bird, when he did a 3-point contest, all those type of guys, the elite,
they were in the game.
Yeah, they were in the
game. So Zion has a point.
Yeah.
When he's in the game, the All-Star game, he should participate in the dunk contest.
But to the fans, you know, I feel where he's coming from. But since you didn't make All-Star, we can't see one of the best dunkers dunk.
See, like, but see, I take a different approach.
Yeah.
Like, my whole thing when I played football, I wouldn't go to certain things unless it meant something to me.
Right.
I'm not.
You're not like, just showing up to hang out.
No, man, I'm not doing that. I'm not going. Like, I never, my son will tell you, when All-Star games would come to town, I'd pack up and leave. I've never been to an All-Star anything. I'd pack up myself. Go on vacation for a couple days. Let my kids.
Here we go.
And let them go to the go enjoy that. Cause I don't wanna, I'm not the type of dude, I don't wanna be in the mix.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you say, well, those players doesn't want to be at the All-Star game. Well, I saw a number of guys doing All-Star break. Me and my son and my family, we were in Cabo. Mm-hmm. A lot of the dudes was in Cabo.
Cabo, yeah.
They was chilling while the All-Star game, because they don't want to be in no damn Indiana.
Yeah.
So it's like.
So you saying the one in L.A., everybody coming?
Everybody going to come to L.A.
I think so, too.
That's just, it's L.A.
Yeah.
You know, it's New York. They going to come to that.
Yeah.
But in Indiana?
Yeah.
You look at the celebrity All-Star game in Indiana, I was like, what is this? But I bet you if that celebrity All-Star game was in New York, L.A., Chicago, you would have probably, DC, mm-hmm. you probably would have had like celebrities yeah. wanting yeah. to play in yeah. the Celebrity All-Star Game.
Well, sticking to the All-Star Game, the Seth versus Sabrina three-point challenge was one of the highlights this year. And now Trae Young said he wants to face Caitlin Clark when she gets there. Who do you think would win, and what else can be done to improve the All-Star Weekend?
I think personally, I think the NFL has done a great job of going away from the old ways.
Yeah.
You know, by having the flag football, having, not trying to be funny, but like fun, active youth yeah. events.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the NBA, the floor was amazing. Did you see the floor?
Yeah, I didn't understand. No, I saw it. I didn't understand it.
But I'm going to explain it to you. It's stimulating.
Yes.
So people now want to, the difference between me and you, we like, me and you could go in the backyard and shoot in the crate.
Yes.
But today's generation, unfortunately, they need to be stimulated.
I ain't shot in the crate in a long time.
Hey, but we grew up on that. So the thing I'm saying is what the NFL has done great, you guys have gave events now that are fun, that are stimulating for the fans.
Yes.
I feel like the NBA, they've done the same thing since the 80s.
Yeah.
And what I would do is, I love the Steph versus Sabrina. That was amazing. Me personally, I would add Trey versus Caitlin.
Okay.
And you're going to think I'm crazy, I might take out the dunk contest and try to add something else. Because if you think about this,
yeah, if they're not
in
doing
20
it,
years,
yeah.
how many dunks can you keep? How many dunks can you do?
Yeah.
So I would try to come up with something more creative instead of the dunk contest, like how the NFL reverted to the flag football, which was, to me, I think the ratings are higher now with flag football than when y'all had the helmets on.
I don't know. It might be. It might be.
Yeah.
I played in Hawaii in the Pro Bowl. So
yeah, it was different
little,
in Hawaii.
Yeah, it was a little different feel.
2010s.
Yeah. You got a real vacation.
Yeah.
You know, you had a hard season. See, I don't like the Pro Bowl before the Super Bowl. I like it after because you got a chance. If you didn't play in the Super Bowl, if you played in the Super Bowl, you got a chance after that to go over to Hawaii, chill, do walkthroughs, play the three quarters, and then turn it up in the fourth quarter to win the prize money to pay for your trip and all your family over there. So it's a little different.
Does the NBA All-Star, maybe we should, do they have a prize pot?
I'm sure they do.
Probably.
And this is what fans go, well, they already make a lot of money. Maybe the dunk contest should be like $5 million or something like that. I know that's outrageous.
Them jokers
but get like
are
betting,
in. I mean, they'll dunk
yeah,
in.
Yeah, get
huh?
a betting company or something to come in. Now we'll see people taking off from the three-point line.
Yeah, you probably will see people want to play in it
because
that's what we did. Like the first three quarters of the Pro Bowl was always boring, right?
Yeah.
But that fourth quarter, you thought it was a real football game, like it was serious because you wanted to win that money to cover your cost.
Yeah.
That was just the first thing you want to cover your cost because your costs at least subsidize a portion of it because you bring in everybody over there. Then after, you usually go to a neighboring island and spend a whole nother week with your family and whatnot. So I wish they make it after the Super Bowl and extend it a little bit. And that way guys can come over and enjoy their families. And you get a chance to see people that actually made the Pro Bowl playing in the Pro Bowl opposed to the 19th alternate.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I agree.
Well, in some social news, Miami Heat legend Udonis Haslem stated that Chris Bosh was the most important player on the Heat dynasty. Watch this.
I'm telling you, CB, if he stayed healthy, would have been still be playing.
Everybody think that our most important player was Bron. Our most important player, not our best player, but our most important player was CB.
Yeah.
Yep. He was our most important player. Because if Bron went down, you could bring in D-Wade, and it's not the same player, but you're going to get similar results of what you're going to get out of the player. Making plays, he can go for 30. We couldn't simulate it. We didn't have another CB. If that went down and he got hurt, we didn't have another one of those.
And the way Spo started using him, too, was impossible to guard. Like, he was shooting threes. Like, he was.
That's why
man was cold, brother.
Nah, he closed it out on threes as a big.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And that was back when no one did that.
Pop three.
So on this show, we like to play a game called Facts or Fiction. Is Udonis Haslem speaking facts here or fiction about Chris Bosh being the most important piece during that dynasty?
You asking me?
Both of you.
Man, the most important piece during that dynasty. If they on the team and they saying it, I got to go with them.
Because
I wasn't there. If they feel that was the case based on him being able to play different spots, get to the floor in different spots and pull up his shot, then that may be the case. Yeah. I mean, a lot of times, certain athletes in certain situations, the yeast effect, the hype around them will make you think that it's something that's not necessarily the case. Where Chris Bosh may have been the real glue, but because LeBron is bigger than life, people automatically assume it's LeBron, when it really probably was Chris Bosh. And Udonis says it, Haslam says it, so I'm going with him.
Yeah, I got to agree with him. You know, what Chris Bosh brought to that team, especially, you know, 6 foot, blocking shots, running in transition, knocking down, pick and pop three-pointers. And this is what people understand, too. Chris Bosh, you give it to him in the post, and he can score. Now, and if you look at that, you look at that in today's dynamic of basketball, how they're giving out money, now he's an NBA team's going to attack him. He's going to make a max.
Yeah.
So what Chris Bosh was doing back then, like you're saying, respectful to his career. But since LeBron was on that team, it was getting overshadowed.
Yeah.
So from a trainer standpoint, a coach's standpoint, I can see if Chris Bosh was on that team, they wouldn't have went as far as they went. Not saying LeBron isn't LeBron, but I do feel like Chris Bosh, to me, is somebody that you cannot replace on a team like that. And in today's basketball,
yeah,
who do we have like a Chris Bosh that does all that? It's not many. Mm-hmm. It's not many. He's rare. He was rare, but we take him for granted.
Yeah, we
take him for granted.
In LeBron's case, though, LeBron gonna suck up the air, man. That's just the
business.
Reality.
Yeah, it's just like when I told you with Kevin Durant in high school. So like I told you in the beginning, I was like, man, nah, I need to get the shots I need to get. Then when I realized that for us to win and for me to get more shots, I give Kevin the ball. That's what how Chris Bosh is. It's like, it's not about me, like you said.
Yeah.
It's about Bron.
Yeah.
And then when it comes out to me, I'm gonna be ready.
So, Chris, you've put yourself in literally some lethal situations to show off your shooting ability. You've taken shots underwater, in front of the pyramids in Egypt, and even against an AI robot. Could you give us the backstory on how shooting underwater came about? And what are some of the most lethal situations you've put yourself into showing off your jump shot?
Yeah, so, you know, like I was telling you guys, my biggest goal right now is to always be creative. I am the first man to ever shoot a jump shot underwater. So what happened was one of my good friends, it's called wet ball. The ball, people dribble underwater. So I contacted this guy and I said, hey man, like, can this basketball, can we make it float to drop so I can shoot a jump shot? You know what I mean? Because I'm seeing them dribble the ball underwater.
Can you swim?
I can't swim.
See, I wouldn't swim. No, that's why I asked it, because I can't swim either.
I can't swim.
I'm black. I don't swim.
But I've done a lot of content with water. I'm the first person to ever do boat to boat, and I can't swim, so I threw up about 5 times out there. I'm about to do some content in about 6 weeks in Dubai. That's very, but you know, it's professional. You got Navy SEALs and stuff there to help
absolutely.
You, but I can't swim.
Yeah, no, of course you're comfortable, because I mean, I go in places on vacation because I got people that I trust that's going to be, I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
But I ain't, man, I'm not doing all that. Nah.
Yeah. So when we came up with this idea, it was just me, like I was telling you, thinking out of the box. The robot was a situation. So I saw this robot online that's in Japan. And I told Red Bull, I want to be the first man to shoot against that thing, and I'm not going to lose. So when I went out there with Red Bull, we went out there and shot. And I'm not going to lie to you, bro. Like the first workout, the robot was kicking my ass. Like I was like, fuck. Because they had all the media back there. So this is no excuse. You know, you're the best of the best. All the media was on my side. So every time I shot, that's when they was taking their pictures, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah.
So it's like 100 people behind me. Every time I shoot the ball, they behind me. So I'm like, yo, hold up. So I had to learn how to control my anxiety. Then the second round, we tied. Then the third round, we brought in a smaller hole. So the difference between a man and a robot, the man, I can adjust with my point finger. The robot started making it, but it was too late. So we tied overall. So mankind was in good hands, but damn, I almost lost that one. That was tough, bro. That was tough.
And so what are they getting ready to do? Replace humans with robots in basketball games?
Well, you know, shout out to, you know, Toyota. They made a robot that can shoot at half court, bro. If he shoots 30 half court shots, he going to make 29. If he shoots 100 NBA threes, he going to make like 98, if that makes sense. Because they're adjusting it with science, if that makes sense.
Mm.
So now they're trying to see if they can make it jump and run. They show me stuff behind the scenes I can't talk about. But it was definitely, it's next level, man. The next 25 years of robot, the stuff that's coming out is going to be next level.
That's crazy.
I'm a hard pass.
Chris, you might have not saw this, but Jay Williams nearly broke my dad's ankles. Let's check this out.
Oh, man.
It's lies.
Damn. So, Chris, what would be your workout with my dad, and is there any hope for him still? Or is
Your dad is one of the best athletes of all time. So to teach him is easy. I think personally, you know, you're too close to him. You got to back up a little bit. You get what I'm saying?
No, but be honest with you, though. I didn't want to hurt myself.
Okay.
Because we had been out there shooting for a while.
You stopped the wrong way, you tell yourself.
We had been out there shooting for a while, knocking down shots. And when you go into Cameron Indoor, for all of a sudden, I became, you know, I was all of a sudden a dookie.
You were a Grant Hill or something.
Man, I was pulling it, bam, shots and turnarounds.
The form looked good, though.
No, I could play a little basketball. Not like that. But he, two-time Naismith Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Regardless of what his legs are like, he still can do some stuff, right? So he doing that to me, and I'm sitting there going, "Oh man, this dude get ready to blow past me."
So I immediately
try to cut him off, but nah, I'll be all right.
Yeah,
I think I'll be all right.
Yeah, get in shape. It happens to the best of me personally. I've been playing basketball my whole life. I've never failed.
Yeah,
but I agree with you. I'd rather fall than get hurt.
Yeah.
So you,
I was spooked though. I didn't want to get hurt. Yeah, I didn't want to get hurt. I'm like, I'm gonna be out here. You know, I'm 50 years old, man. I ain't gonna be out here get hurt messing around something. Yeah, but it was fun being in Cameron Indoor though. It was
good energy.
I don't know if you've ever been inside that, but it was just a different. I don't know for whatever reason.
Yeah, I go there tomorrow.
Is that right?
They play Saturday, but I go there tomorrow.
Yeah, I can't stand Duke, but I was there with him doing some work.
Yeah.
So we're gonna play a game called Name That Jump Shot. It's debatable who exactly has the ugliest jump shot in league history. But we want to put it to the test and see if you can name the NBA player just by their unorthodox jump shot. So here's one, for example.
Oh, that's one of the best shooters of all time.
That's Reggie Miller.
That's one of the best shooters of all time right there.
Is that Reggie Miller?
That's one for one. Yeah,
yeah, that's one of the best shooters of all time.
Come on, man. It's Reggie Miller.
All right. Here's number two.
Oh, Keem Noah.
Okay. Two for two.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Keem Noah.
Yeah.
That looked crazy, by the way. Okay, number three.
Is that left-handed or is the pitcher reversed?
No, that's lefty.
Oh, that's left-handed?
Yeah.
Y'all got me with
the
this
older,
one.
It's an older one.
A lefty older? That's Bill Larry Bird.
No way. He wasn't left-handed?
It's Rick Barry.
Rick Barry.
He was left-handed?
This is
no, he wasn't.
This is at the free throw line. This is him doing it.
Well, you should have told us that because he's not underhand. You should have said, that was a trick question.
No, Larry Bird was left handed?
No, he was right handed. He shot the jump.
He shot the jump way back there. That's right. That's right, why I thought he was left handed.
Yeah.
Here's one more. We got two more.
That's MJ. No, that's
ain't
Kobe.
No MJ.
That's Kobe.
That ain't no Kobe.
That's Kobe.
I ain't going to let you get in trouble here. Like, that ain't no Kobe or MJ. That's
a big.
Well, whoever it is, he got some muscles.
That's Dwight.
That's not Dwight.
That's
either.
Not Dwight. That's a big Show though. It. Go it. Show Go it. Kenya Martin.
Kenya Martin.
Yeah.
And then his form wasn't bad.
And
though.
I wouldn't know. I don't watch Kenya Martin like that.
But Kenya Martin form wasn't bad. He had a good form. It just wasn't consistent. But that's a good form right there.
Well, this one's terrible form. But I think you'll know who this is.
Oh, from the Suns. Sean Marion.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but don't get it messed up. Sean Marion from the corner.
Yeah.
See, that's what they...
Three and
I don't want to change the subject. Shot. You got to know where to shoot at as a shooter.
Yeah.
He knew not to shoot on the wings.
Okay.
And his job was to always knock it down in the corner. He was knocking that thing down. It wasn't pretty.
Yeah.
And that's what's wring with a lot of shooters now and a lot of grassroots training. Everybody
they
think a shot...
Change it, huh?
Everybody's shot don't look like Clay.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at Steph Curry's shot, it's not ideal. But it's consistent. If your shot's consistent, why change it?
Yeah, every little kid, my son, a nice little basketball player, 11 years old, but he doesn't do it anymore. But when he first started, everything was trying to do what Steph did. The ball too damn heavy. Boy, get closer. You don't get closer, your ass closer to the basket. Everything was coming from here.
And that's going
to
affect him as he get older.
But now he works with Gary Grant, the general.
Okay.
So the general has him, you know, doing a whole lot of stuff. His game is turned up a little bit. He was with Book when we were living in New York. He was with Book at the Gauchos
playing.
But that waking up at 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning for a 9-year-old kid. Yeah, he's 9 years old. Waking up, Book got him waking up at 9 at 4 o'clock in the morning going to play basketball. Nine. Come on, man. What the hell? But that's that New York.
Yeah.
You know how it goes.
But Chris, we're going to put them back up. Out of these five shooters, who would need the lethal shooter services the most, you think?
Okay. I would love out of all of them. So like I said, I love Reggie. He doesn't need any help. Only help Reggie needed is for me to pass the ball and shut up. Barry was an elite scorer. Kenyon Martin, he could do his thing. Sean Marion could knock it down from the corner. I would love Akeem Noah, because hear me out. If he was knocking the midi down consistently and the three, on top of how he was in the post rebounding, how aggressive he was,
Chris Bosh.
Shoot, we might have made him like another, what, 100 M's.
But wait, but why is Reggie for him bad?
Well, it's not ideal. So
it's not ideal? The dude's hitting from all over the floor.
Yeah, of course. But like an ideal shooting form is coming here. They say elbow in, Steve Nash style, coming here. Reggie was unorthodox. And remember, with me and you, we know that I don't care how unorthodox it is. Reggie Miller is one of the best shooters of all time. Mm-hmm. But when you look at it, you'll say, if you're not smart, you'll say ill. But people like me and you, when we see that thing shooting, I don't care how it look. Long as he dropped
good, it looked good to me.
And you know, your hand, I think his hands touched as well. And they say as a shooter, your hands aren't supposed to touch after
you
shoot.
But he was one of the deadliest shooters in the NBA history.
But that's what you're saying, man. Like, people be thinking,
This isn't Jamal Wilkes.
Yeah.
That stuff.
Yeah.
Now, I would tell you, hey, go fix Jamal Wilkes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That doesn't look any different to me, to my eyes.
Yeah.
As a professional basketball player,
yep.
That doesn't look anything different than Ray Allen, except his is probably elongated opposed to Reggie being so quick with his wrist.
Well, that's why, respectfully, you know, I'm the professional.
Yeah.
Because if you don't see that, that's a big issue. So Reggie is one of the best shooters of all time, but his shot wasn't ideal. Would I ever change Reggie's shot? Absolutely not. But what I'm saying is the difference between Ray Allen's shot, his shot is like the creme de la creme. It's like it might be more prettier than Clay's.
Is that because of the rotation on the ball?
No, it's just the way how he shoots, and like it's like he has a nice shooting window. So Reggie had a nice shooting window, but the thing was the after effect was not ideal. So when Ray Allen shoots, it's like that's like the I don't know. It's like oh, you know what I'm saying? not saying for me. When Reggie shoots, it's like that because I'm a shooter. So okay. I don't care how I look.
Okay.
But Ray Allen and Klay Thompson have the ideal shooter's form.
Let me ask you one question before I let you go. So different courts, different rims, different everything, right? The nets sometimes are different. When Reggie Miller would shoot, the ball wouldn't drop directly. You wouldn't hear that snap in the net.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody like Ray Allen or Klay Thompson, that thing go boom.
Yeah.
Why is that? Is it the rotation on the ball?
Yeah,
where Reggie's hit, but it's like it rolls down opposed to just bam.
Yeah, so Reggie did have moments, like you saying, where it was sky, 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 sky. That okay. noise you're saying.
Yeah.
But the reason why is because the way he went up, it wasn't ideal at the end.
Okay.
When Ray Allen and Klay Thompson go up, as they're going up, their fingers are on the seams and they release it like Dame Lillard.
So the ball is rotating.
The ball is really,
way.
Really aggressive a certain way.
Okay.
You know, it's like science.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying? So when it does hit that net a certain type of way, it's going to be wah-gah!
Like now, KD's.
Like KD, because the way the rotation is after the release.
Okay.
Now, we said, which we both agreed on, that Reggie Miller didn't have the ideal. I said that Reggie Miller didn't have the ideal shot. Is because when he went up, it didn't always have that rotation that was needed to make the net sound like a bang going off.
Yeah, I couldn't understand that. It hit in there, but it didn't just drop.
Nah.
It would kind of spin around and then go. And he's like, well, I wonder if that's just because he's not putting enough spin, backspin on the ball.
But him and Ray Allen and Craig Hodges are definitely the reason why I fell in love with shooting the basketball. So, like me and you know, like people say that shot might not be ideal. But as a kid, shoot, the swag that he had as a shooter, it's like, I'm not trying to say it's like a football player, but it's the toughness as a football player. Yeah. He wasn't backing down from nobody.
Nah.
Ray Allen wasn't backing down from nobody. So that's why I look up to those guys.
Okay. Thanks for joining us, Lethal Shooter, man. Good luck with everything. And hopefully one day I get out on the court with you and play basketball, not just shoot.
Nah, I'm going to get you right, man. We coming for Jay Will. So if Jay Will see this, he going to be ready. Stay tuned.
All right. That's a wrap today. Yeah. Thanks again. the Chris Matthews, a.k.a. Lethal Shooter, for joining the show. Don't forget to subscribe and follow All Facts Pod on social media. Until then, it's me, Keyshawn. Motherfucking right, I'm out.